I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and this one is the season 2020 primer for the Saints. So before we get into the 2020 for the Saints, we'll have a quick look back at 2019, where the Saints finished 8th on 9 wins. What did you think?
They didn't finish 8th, did they?
14th on 9 wins. I don't know why I said 8th. I'm staring at 14th. 14th on 9 wins. So where does that... Is that a pass or a fail for the Saints?
I'd say it's a definite fucking pass because they weren't in the media for any ridiculous, terrible off-field shit.
Yeah, I feel
that's... Well, there was one.
Yeah, it was minor by St Kilda standards.
Minor by St Kilda standards.
What was it? I forgot. It's been a long season.
They got a coach sacked.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know, he doesn't say a coach here and there.
Well, I mean, we'll start with the lows for the Saints last year, and that is obviously one of them. Who could have seen it coming, especially when they signed... Brett Ratten in pre-season as an assistant coach from Hawthorn. What's this going on with? But it is one of the weirdest sackings as well, because it was sort of, they weren't terrible.
And they
weren't terrible enough to be terrible to get what they needed. It was sort of just malaise a little bit.
Well, St Kilda and coaching choices has never been, well, keeping coaches has never been a really good thing. Like, remember they sacked Malcolm Black because he told them the truth?
Oh, yeah, he was only there for 16 games, but I think Malcolm Black was only there for 3 days a week as well.
Yeah, it's true. But...
Was it the start of the season when Richardson was being interviewed and he said, well, finals is an expectation. And it might have been Mike Sheen interviewing him and said, if that's the expectation, I fear for your job.
I don't think it was Mike Sheen, but you're definitely right on everything else. And I think when he said it was an expectation, I think if reading into it, it was a contractual expectation.
Right, yeah.
In that if he did make finals, they couldn't sack him.
Yeah.
And when it came clear that they weren't going to make finals, I think the it became a fait accompli. You know, it was always going to end up that way.
Pick the ball off the green.
Look, sometimes I think coaches are sacked... without cause sometimes, because they can't outperform their cattle.
Yep.
But I can't think of a player who's gone to St Kilda and gotten better.
It's very hard to think of.
Let's try to think about it. All right, who's gone to St Kilda and been better?
I don't know. I'll have to come back to you on that one. But I mean, they have been unlucky, but there's only so long you can claim unlucky.
Well, that's true.
Like, they pick up Jake Carlisle and all of a sudden things are fucking looking rosy as hell.
That was never a good move. No one agreed with that.
He's a good guy. St Kilda supporters fucking did.
I mean, within 24 hours, he was on a cocaine binge.
So. They pick up Hanbury and they're thinking, oh, you'll come good.
That was terrible. So,
that was dumb.
No one expected that to be good.
Turnovers were fucking deplorable.
Yeah.
They were terrible. I still remember Montagna to go down to the back pocket just to get the ball out of the back line.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a playmaker. What the fuck am I doing down here?
That was a couple of years ago, but it hasn't changed is what you're saying.
One of their best users of the ball was Max King.
Shit, that's actually, it's not far off.
So the bloke has barely got his balls dropped.
Well, it seemed like they never had a strategy with recruiting. They always had either 20 forward players or 16, you know, outside mids.
Well, through... not on purpose, but I happen to watch a lot of Saints games this year, live, I mean. And then you do get the feeling, and I know we said this during the year as well, they are working hard.
Oh, they're not working really
smart
hard
at all.
No.
And you see them work so hard, especially when they got the ball on the back back 50, to, you know, working so hard to create space on the opposite side of the ground. Then they get to the opposite side of the ground and go, now what?
I think we went to the Saints-Bulldogs game. And St Kilda were ahead for a bit, and none of the crowd was worried, none of the Bulldogs crowd. And we always sort of felt, oh, the Bulldogs still have this. You just didn't, there was no, even belief from the team. They're like, oh, fuck, we're ahead. What do we do?
Yeah. I mean, they did have some good wins.
They showed some good quarters, and I think they have cleaned up the list a little bit, got rid of some superfluous. I don't agree with some of the people they got rid of, but there were definitely some superfluous positions.
Yeah, they were very active in the off-season.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice watching them is that they didn't change up their game style much. Like a lot of teams, you'll have, you know, they'll play the indirect style game, going side to side, switching out, and then once in a while they'll go fast direct, bang, 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 and try and move it quickly.
Yeah.
But Saints just always seem to play the indirect style.
Yeah. Well, I feel like when they go to training, they just, all right, let's just do a little simulation. All right, so the ruckman goes up, he taps down to someone, so he kicks it forward to Bruce, who obviously is not there, and then they can go. And then someone's like, what happens if they win the ruck? Don't worry about that. It's not important right now.
Well, I mean, we get to their highs. I mean, that was one of their highs in the year was in the ruck, was Marshall.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was absolute shining light for them.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, I think for the last couple of seasons, we've tipped Hickey to have breakout seasons. Yeah. And we were fucking wrong.
Well, he had one solid season, half a season.
Hickey.
Yeah.
He had about six solid games.
But before that, they had just failing ruck stocks all over the shop, basically.
Well, and they still did this year. And the only reason Marshall really got to go in the ruck was because they were running out.
Yeah.
Longa was injured. Hickey was injured. Traded. They just run out. They had nobody left and went, well, can you try it for us? And it worked.
The other one I liked was Josh Battle.
Yeah, showed a little bit.
But an appropriate name for a backman.
Yeah, apparently he plays football.
I mean, again, we're getting onto the mongrel aspect, but he had a bit of that about him, which, it's vital for a backman. You need to have that.
And Seb Ross took out their best and fairest as well. So obviously fair enough. He's had a fair enough year as well. I think Marshall might have won it if he was playing from round one. That's a good sign for the young lad.
But every season, Saints get hyped up.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, I mean, even this year again, there was off-field stuff that still came back to bite them in injuries. Paddy McCartan didn't play all year.
Yeah, he shouldn't have.
Again. And I think he's on an indefinite leave from football altogether.
Yeah.
Now, we're in a bit of danger of playing doctor, having no degree and not examined him. However, fuck it, it's my podcast.
Yeah.
He should not be playing footy.
No. We said that the year before last, I believe. Yeah.
But I do like, they've kept him within the club, so at least they can pay for his fucking treatment.
Exactly. Like, look after him, but fuck, there's more, like, living's more important than playing football.
That interview he did with Triple M, I think, during mid-year. That is fantastic. Not fantastic, but it was amazing. Saying, like, he has trouble going to the supermarket because the lights are too bright.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. He has to sleep in the back room for the noise.
Well, how many matches he missed through concussion now?
All of them.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And he's a number one draft pick that they obviously never got to see play footy.
Yeah.
He has bigger issues than that, but we're only looking at the
I'm glad. Like, I just saw the news last night. Apparently, he's signed to fight Chuck Liddell, so it should be a pretty
great,
pretty good fight. It's Ryzen 213 in Russia.
Tag match with Rampage.
Yeah.
So we'll have a look at their list changes, because that was where the Saints were most active during the off season. More than just about any other club. So I'll go through the outs first. Armitage is a bit of a loss, but again, I felt like the Saints had got it all out of him as they were going to.
Yeah, for
sure. I
really
like him as a player too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's obviously the best for a fucking good 18 games, I would say.
They were sort of waiting for him to really go to that elite level, and it didn't quite come on for him. Billy Longa. Like we said, they've had enough of him, and they've decided that Marshall is their future.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Rowe, who, I'll be honest, didn't realise he went to the Saints. played one game under Brett Ratten to make his 100th.
Yep. One of the few Carlton players that just don't ever do shit.
Well, traded. He didn't. I always liked him as a player.
Carlton, right?
He did come from Carlton. He played 99 games for Carlton.
Yeah.
One for St Kilda. And
they should get the father's
son. Is that life membership? I don't know. 100 games?
No.
Sydney, Swans, St Kilda wouldn't have many life members.
It meant AFL. It's 200. Jack Stephen, who is obviously a massive issue there as well.
Yeah.
A lot of off-field stuff, and he wanted to go home. And to be fair, the Saints probably got dudded with what they could have got on the trade table, but it was always going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'd like to believe that especially he missed, I think, two stints through mental health this year.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that any club faced with that would do what they can. Like,
yeah. Okay, we understand. Yeah. And you'd hope you wouldn't just try and fucking stitch him up at the trade tail when you're getting him as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, it does lower the value, though, when you know. Of course it does. Because it's not like an ankle where you can get doctors and prescribe something and you know when it's going to be fixed.
Yeah.
He may never play again. Or he might, get himself in order and handle it and
bust out. Not to play doctor, but the fact that he's going back home and he'll be around family and friends, you feel like, you know what, he's going to be happy and he's going to...
Yeah, and you feel like you've got to make him realise that football should not be your life.
And I do like the... I think he kicked 3 goals on his return game and he even said, carrying a bit of beef. Stewie Jew was looking at him going, yeah, mate, not bad. Nothing wrong with that, though, if you're kicking goals.
Yeah.
Blake Akers, they traded away to Frio. I think they would have liked to keep him, but...
I still think that's return
money.
On there.
I still think that's money for nothing.
Oh, mate, it wasn't for nothing.
They got plenty back.
They got plenty back. Don't worry about that.
That's what I mean. He was nothing to them
in
value, and they got something for him.
I still think he had value at Saints, and he was very popular, but bigger fish to fry. Josh Bruce, who I think they would have preferred to keep, but I think it might be best for his footy anyway.
Yeah.
He just goes somewhere else.
There are too many people in the forward line to begin with. Like, he was good forward line, but I thought he was better as an outside mid, which they got plenty of as well.
I mean, his main problem is the goal square.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Cannot kick a goal from the goal square. Nah. He's missed more than anybody else, I reckon.
Yeah.
That's it for the major outs. Now the ins, where they were very active.
Big ins.
Yeah, this is where they've improved the list the fucking most.
Except for Zach Jones.
I have not seen so many good ins in a long time. Well, we'll start with Zach Jones there. I mean, not the cleanest player, but lots of mongrel.
Exactly.
You know what?
Stick him in the back line, tell him to kick it long. There you go.
Well, run hard, kick long.
If you've got so many low draft picks, young lads coming in,
you
need that bloke who's willing to, go the knuckle if he has to. And I think Jones has already put about 3 people down just over the Christmas break with his family.
They picked up lots of future picks, didn't they, with their trade activities?
They didn't have many picks this year.
No, but I think this year they're short as well, but next year is when they all come good.
Come good. Dougal Howard from,
from Port.
I really like him.
I like him too. He's a good, solid player down back.
And again, I don't know why Port let him go so easy.
They're tanking Port.
They're moving to Hobart.
But Dougal Howard is the best 18 player. He can anchor down that back line. And I think, if you put him alongside Carlisle, there isn't a forward duo in the AFL that they go, what do we do? We're outmatched.
Yeah.
We've got our 2 guys. You pick which 2 you go on. We'll work it out from there. It takes a lot of panic out of the game planning, I think, for them. That's a great pickup.
Oh, and because it's so hard to find quality backman. Like, because it's hard to gauge a quality backman. Whereas a forward, you can say, kicked 40 goals a year. That's a forward player, and he's taken X amount of marks. But with a backman, you're kind of like, well, okay, now that we're playing zone D.
Yeah. There is no, he stopped 40 goals last year. Like, did he? Yeah.
You can say, he won so many contested marks or whatever, but it's still, all right, if you were actually on your game, your player wouldn't have been near the ball anyway. So... Howard is definitely a well-made defender, and he's going to be that way for a very long fucking time.
It's a great pickup.
And for some reason, Port's like, we want to play on the wing. We want to play forward. And he's like, nah, bloke, I'm a backman. Yeah.
Paddy Ryder, who I think is an interesting one, because obviously he's the north side of 30 and really wanted out of Port. So we understand why Port got rid of him.
And they've got Carlisle, another ex-Essendon reject. Like, you don't fuck in with him.
Well, I think he's a good mate of Paddy's as well.
It's not good.
So that was their long-term plan.
Not good.
I think Paddy is just... He might be a little bit of a coach for Marshall.
They're playing Gwent.
Yeah, a little bit.
You play Paddy, all of a sudden Carlisle comes in as well.
Well, yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah. I mean, Paddy's got probably 1 or 2 years left in him. And he's had his injury issues in the last couple anyway.
But I think they need a lot out of him, which I don't think he has to give.
But he's still fucking big.
He's exactly. He's still big.
So is Carlo. He's dumb as shit.
Paddy's
plenty of big blokes are.
Paddy's got some X factor about him, but it's injuries,
It's usually ecstasy.
North side of 30 as well. Dan Butler,
huge. Exactly what they need.
No, but he is a handy player.
He is exactly what they need.
It's going to be interesting. A handy player on a mediocre team, as opposed to a handy player on a premiership team.
I think he's going to run amok.
And really just squeezed out at Tigerland.
Yep.
So not a... he wasn't pushed out.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He just didn't need him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's too good to play in the twos, not good enough to play in the ones.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he wanted to check out the trophy cabinet and couldn't find it? He's like, hang on, where is it? Oh, hang on, it's in the drawer. I think
Steve-O's
got it.
It's just up high. Just, yeah.
it's behind the Milo. Just shift aside the sweet and low, and there it is.
And that's Robert Harvey's Brownlows.
And of course, their biggest pickup was Brad Hill, who they moved heaven and earth to get. Set their sights on him early, and delivered. You know, that's huge. What they set out for.
Huge.
In fact, to land Brad Hill and all those others.
Yeah.
An off season.
Their list management's already won their best and fairest.
Well, I think that's perfect strategy. Just try and make your team not St Kilda.
They've done very well. They've
nailed it.
Brad Hill has got 3 premierships and he's on his 3rd club. And I think he's 14.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like 14 with 7 kids.
I do like that he left Melbourne because he wanted to go back home back home to Perth and play with his brother. 2 years, won a best and fairest and went, you know what? Missus wants to go back to Melbourne. Fucking off.
You know what? I like
my brother.
I like this cash thing. This is pretty fucking good.
So he's getting paid every time he turns around.
Yeah. He would have been on a decent enough wage over in the West.
Above average, yeah.
But with this move, he'd move up another fucking tax bracket.
So he might be in the top 10 in the AFL now.
Yeah.
Or if he's not, he's damn close.
He'd be the top of St Kilda, easy.
Without a doubt.
You know, once you take Hanbury's fines out of his wage.
Or his medical bills.
But I think he's a brilliant pickup, fantastic player, has the wheels, has the creativity. He's exactly what they fucking needed for so long.
He's outside run and he's a classy ball user.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think, who's the most creative player at St Kilda? And without him in the list, I'm fucking stretching. I'm going back to Max King.
I'm going to say, who they hope will make his debut this year.
Yeah, so, I think the general sort of benchmark for creativity at St Kilda was doing things that you never expected a player to do because you shouldn't do it. So, wow, that was creative.
I mean, they got, well, I was going to say Nunes, but they don't have him anymore.
No, he's gone.
They got all their jacks. A lot of them are creative. But
yep. Well, they've got a few now, a few less.
They've got one less, at least. All right, so who's going to have a big year for him this year?
Butler.
Yeah.
I mean, huge year.
They could.
Dan Butler.
I mean, they have to go to Brad Hill just to fucking pump up what we've just given him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that'll be part of their strategy as well. Just like, all right, get it to him. What then? Just fucking whatever.
Let him decide.
Yeah. He'll just fucking tear off on a run.
Yeah.
And if anyone can catch him, good luck to him. And if they can't, well, try and get on the end of the ball.
Well, I mean,
and then give it back to him as he's running past.
Any of the knocks against Brad Hill is one, I don't think he's seen a tackle, let alone laid one.
Oh, look, the only thing keeping him in the ground is the fence.
Yeah. However, you got other people that can do that. Let him run on the outside. And playing at Docklands means he's going to be under the roof, so he doesn't have to worry about a wet ball.
Yeah, I mean, fair set of wheels and all that.
Absolutely.
He's a player you can build that offense around. As long as he can hit a target inside into the 50.
Yep.
And he fucking can. There's no doubt there. So that entries into 50 is where they've really fallen over same thing. Revolt was there. So he's going to make so much of a difference having him there.
Even then, they'd play him on the wing in the end.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah.
You'd really hope that Marshall shows that last year wasn't just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
If he becomes solid, he can, you know, try and challenge Grundy and Gorn and say, you know what, that All-Australian spot, I reckon I can have a crack at it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they're just missing a bit of body and structure. And I feel like if they improve their base where they can actually let their stars shine and play their own game, it's going to be big. So I think they just need a big year out of Jack.
Safe bet. Safe bet.
Well, I think with Battle Carlisle and Howard running that back line, it should be one of the best back lines in the league if they can work together.
It's a big call.
It's going to take them a little while to get it all moving because not only have you got all these new players, you've also got a coach that's only been there for, well, in the head coach role for six games or whatever it was.
I think that's the advantage, though, because there's no expectation of immediate delivery.
Yeah.
And back lines generally do take about a season to gel because you've got to know where you are, where your man is, where your mate's man is, where your mate is, what you're going to do. And
you know where help's coming from.
Yeah, it's so much about a team game now that it has to be like a choreographed dance, essentially.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect those three to gel from round one, but midway through the season, you could start to see some really good backline structure. And
big night on the coke, they'll be best mates. I just don't rate Carlisle. I think he's done. I think he had a flash in the pan at Essendon surrounded by great players, but when he has to have responsibility, he's just nowhere.
Well, I don't think there'll be as much responsibility as Battle's coming up and Howard as well.
I thought you said that was just the best backline in the AFL.
No, he won't have that responsibility, is what I'm saying. He won't be the general. He'll be able to focus on his role.
Pick up the slack.
Yeah. And those two young lads, they could be anything.
Membry is going to be an interesting one this year as well, because they're still going to need some goals out of him, because Max King, you know, obviously hasn't played yet. So it's going to be a little while before they are confident enough to throw Maxi out there. But they do need to put him out there.
Yep.
Because all the talk off-season was signed, you know, maybe his brother Ben comes to us. Well, Benny's just signed a big contract up at the Gold Coast, and he's staying there.
Yep.
So
Maybe
Gold Coast looking the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just reckon they'll both have their own careers and people will stop trying to put them together. But Membry's got to be the general up forward, which doesn't happen that often. But Bruce is gone, which means King's got to play more, which means you've got a lot of inexperience up forward. Membry's your the forward captain. If you like.
I guess I hold cold on Membry. Sometimes I watch a quarter of his game and I'm like, fuck, look at him go. Because he's, you know, very hard at the ball, you know, pretty Barry Hall-style intimidation of a forward player. And then other times he's just nowhere near where the ball's dropping. Yeah. And you're thinking, what's he fucking thinking?
Well, a lot of that too is the Saints midfield.
Yeah, that's very true. Like I was saying before, the inside 450, he was doing a bit of a richo where he's just getting the shits and, you know, I'm not fucking running there. What are you kicking it there for?
Yeah. Well, the Saints just look like they fail to read defense. So you got the ball and you can't read where they're just trying to trap you and kicking the ball.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, you know, a new coach with no pressure, because he's fine.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's fine.
Zero pressure on the coach.
I think you could see some creativity, which they've been fucking missing.
Yep.
And also the opportunity for players to just try new shit.
Yep.
They're not worried about getting dropped because, well, their VFL team sucks too.
True.
Who's on the outer at the club?
Jake Carlisle.
Carlisle.
I feel like I made that clear.
Yeah, I had pass. Like, we've talked about McCartan. That's a, you know, there's an asterisk there. That's a little bit different. Yeah. I think Carlisle's still going to be the number one backman in the side. I disagree that he's going to be the pickup. So he's still, like, if they're playing against, you know, Geelong, he's going to go to Hawkins.
I don't think he's bright enough to be the general.
He's not, no, without a doubt. But, you know, he's a backman. Those veteran backman moves are going to start becoming his playbook shortly.
Slip some coke and get Asada to fuck around.
That's more impressive with Robertson as a backman. I didn't rate him when he first came in.
Yeah.
But I thought he's picked up year after year and gotten better and better.
And hopefully, you know, they want to get more out of Geary this year.
Yeah.
Who spent a lot of time off the field last year. And, you know, I was really glad when he got the captain's call. But, besides that, I mean, they've done a massive Hanbury, clean-out.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, Hanbury, the problem with Hanbury is they've signed into a massive contract for 4 years.
Did they?
Well, actually, they took over a massive contract.
Well, there is that.
Fucking hell.
So,
are Sydney still paying part of that?
I don't think so. I think that was the...
That was the sticking point?
The sticking point, with the negotiations. For some reason, that sticks in my head, which is why they got him for nothing, essentially.
But pay the contract.
As long as you pay the contract, you can have him, that type of stuff.
Whenever someone offers that, you always got to be skeptical. Like,
it's not like they were hiding the fact he had injury issues.
I know. I don't understand why they took it up.
Yeah, I still think it's a mistake. But anyway, it's one they're stuck with for now. Yeah.
Maybe they just thought their culture was strong enough,
or maybe they thought he would bring the culture. You know, and who knows? Maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Yeah, get into a seminar or something.
So where do we see the Saints finishing in 2020 after finishing 14th on 9 wins?
Well, on the back of Dan Butler's 65 goals next year, or this year, I've got them really peachy 8th. So sneaking in the finals.
Tell us what you think of Dan Butler.
Well, Dan Butler, I think he's going to be supported by basically Brad Dan Hill, Zach Jones, Paddy Ryder, Dougal Howard.
In other words, anybody who wasn't there last year.
Ryan Burns and some dude named Jack Mayo.
Josh, where you got the Saints finishing?
I mean, fuck, I just learnt four new players' names right there.
You know, they're actually up to seven Jacks. They actually increased.
I got to say, and they lost some.
Yeah.
And they still kept rising up.
They know quads is the most you can get, yeah?
And there's a Zach and a Jake in there as well. I mean, it's close. A couple of beers and they're the same name.
Zach Jones is pretty much, you know, Jack Zones.
Jack Zones.
Same fucking shit.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. I'm not that confident on them, but I've still got them going up to 13th because there's other teams I'm less confident on.
Yeah. Well, I said 11th because I think that they are great pickups. And without a doubt, on paper, their list is better this year than it was last year.
Absolutely. I think, but I feel
that's
great.
So much change. Yeah. There's going to be ups and downs.
I think that's what they need to change from being St Kilda.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's why Richardson isn't coach anymore, because they were just, for six years.
Yeah, I think success this season, in 2020, for St Kilda is getting 8 or 9 games into their rookies.
Yeah. You need to promise nothing. Like, they need a coach coming fresh, has zero promises, like, didn't pitch for the job, just here, take it.
Didn't pitch good for luck the job. To you. Was already given the job 12 months earlier. God damn.
Yeah, it was a bit rough when Richo comes in and you've got Ratton checking the drapes and, this office is pretty nice. Yeah.
Well, they introduced here's Richardson, our coach currently.
Yeah.
I said 11th, which is an improvement, but I think their inconsistency with so much change. Mm. It'll take them just that little bit to finally nail it down. But once they do, that list is good enough to do anything.
Yep. If they can keep it together, which, if they're smart, they'll start signing people up to about 2 or 3 years pretty quickly. So that they're seen through to 2022, and that should be their success period.
That should be it. All right, that'll do us.
Yeah, good luck. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.